and wants to minister to your heart.
Yeah.
This young man is coming tonight. Come here, Todd. Would you come here? He's here tonight to prove several things. Real men wear pink. Come on. Amen. Love this brother. Just so much appreciate the impact that he's making in the body of Christ. You know what? It's amazing to think what God can do when we learn what it is to fully surrender.
Yes.
Sometimes in our life, we say we're surrendered, and then we really take a deep look, and God will show us more. And the more we surrender, the more God's going to work through us.
Yes.
I'm convinced this man's so in love with Jesus that God just flows through him, and he's become an open gate for God to flow through. And we keep just pressing in and going after more. And how many know, no matter how much you get, there's still more for us. We just got to keep pressing in and believing God for the more of heaven.
Yeah.
But I believe tonight, man, there's something in the house. And I'm excited about just seeing more of that released on this body. So, man, just open up your hearts and prepare for what God wants to do.
Amen.
If you'd like for this guy to preach, would you just yell, preach!
Preach!
I think that was all of them but three.
This is Caleb, so it's already
all right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Can you catch him all right?
If I stay inside the brown.
Yeah, you're not allowed past the brown.
I'll just keep that right there. That'll be mine. You good? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I got me my Bible on here. It's amazing. I got invested in the iPad just because I keep on going through Bibles and writing notes and having to shelf it, and I can't stand having to put it on a shelf because I write all the time in my Bible. If you can't write in your Bible, you got the wrong one.
Yeah.
I'm serious, man. You need to spend time with God and let Him speak to you, because that Word, it ain't just a book.
That's right.
It's not. If you read it like a book, it won't change your life. But if you treat it like it's God, it will.
Yeah.
It's really a good Word.
Word.
It's the only reason why my life has changed. See, I love it. All the people came in and couldn't even find a parking place. Came to my own church. I love it. You know what I love when I come in here and I'm like, God, this is just all for you.
It is.
Because, like, I love the fact that I get to do videos and I get to preach and lots of people are coming and I'm like, wow, it's everywhere. You know, and I'm so thankful just to be a son.
Yeah.
Because, like, I honestly, man, I'll preach to one person, because it ain't about how many. It's about the hearts that are open. And God just speak to your heart. And even if you came here and your heart ain't open, it will be before you leave.
That's right.
That's right.
I'm really serious.
Yeah.
So we kind of look at it like, well, they got to make a choice. And I'll make a choice for you. You're getting this.
Yeah.
If you're not making a choice, it's because you're blind and you can't see. So since when did your blinded eyes, like, dominate somebody's heart that is in cahoots with the big kahuna? Come on, since when did somebody's free will that's blinded by principalities and demonic strongholds and spiritual hosts of wickedness, since when did that dominate a believer's free will that's possessed by truth? We've given free will too much reign, and we need to knock it off. We need to give God reign.
Come on, man.
See, I get the special, amazing privilege of... See, I tell everybody, our war is not against flesh and blood, it's against principalities, right?
Mm-hmm.
Demonic strongholds, you know, spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. So, if somebody doesn't believe, it's because hell is interfering.
Mm.
So what I get to do is I get to love the hell out of people.
Because
it's love. And honestly, it's scriptural, it's biblical. Because it's all about love.
Yep.
Look, I love the miracles. I love the signs. I love the wonders. I love it, man. And like, when I first found out that it was real, I just ran after it. Didn't matter who said what. I really, just because you can't see, I'm not going to let that influence the things I do see.
That's right.
I'm not going to sit there and let your eyes that can't see dominate my eyes that do see. But I'm going to love you in the process. I'm not going to make fun of you because you don't see.
No.
That's right. It's okay.
But the heart of God is to establish something that's so amazing. See, signs and wonders are amazing, but one day you can do all the signs and wonders in the world, stand before Him and not know Him.
That's right.
And that's not okay.
That's right.
See, I'm not saying I'm against signs and wonders, because it's part of the kingdom. If you're in the kingdom, it's your life. It's not what you do, it's who you are. Everywhere you go, you're a sign and a wonder waiting to happen. Look, if people treat you like hell and you love them back, that's a sign right there. Come on. If people are mean to you and horrible to you, and you love them in the midst of them being horrible to you, what is that? It sounds like Jesus, man. I love when blind eyes open. I love when my eyes are open.
Amen. Amen.
It's amazing. See, it's all about love. It's all about love, man. Let me tell you, I was coming home from, I was just in Prince Edward Island up in Canada. It's frozen right now. It's like 6 feet of snow. It's pretty cold. And I was coming home and I got delayed in my flights and stuff. It seems to be the story of my life lately, just delayed. So I come in, I was delayed, and I'm coming home and I'm delayed, and they tell me, you know, you've got to wait. I'm not doing right, am I? You've got to wait until my flight's at 8:40, and they told me, well, your flight now has been delayed, now it's at 12:40. So I'm 12:40 a.m. So now I'm sitting there and waiting for a while. So I went out and I came back in, and I went out thinking, I'm going to go maybe rent a car. I'm in Dallas. I'm coming back. I'm in Dallas. It'd take me a couple hours to drive home, but it'd be good. So I went and found out a rental car is like $179 just for 2 hours. And I said, well, that's not a very good deal. So I'm going to go back in. So I went back in. I went back in, and when I went back in, I had to go in through security. And the security wasn't the regular gate, because that security gate shut down. It's like 12 o'clock at night. Now I have to go back through airport security, where the crew people go through. That's a great place to go. So I go in through there and tell the lady, you know, and he says, well, let me check. And for some reason, security always gets on me whenever I'm there. You know what? That's great, because I've got something to give you if you're going to get on me. I don't get frustrated because they got to search my bags. I don't get frustrated because they got to search my hair and go through everything. They do. They go through that full body scan, and then when I come out, they say, sir, we have to get in your dreads. I'm like, come on with it. And I just start talking to them, tell them how lovely they are, how amazing they are. I tell them what God says about them. I prophesy over security that's giving me a hard time. Why? Because it ain't about me.
Amen. That's right.
And see, if you allow things to be about you, then you will be a people button away from losing it, man. And it's time that we just become love. What would it be like to be unoffendable? Wouldn't that be amazing?
Yeah.
You know, I live in that place. I can't even tell you. I've never known anything but that place. I mean, I've had all kinds of stuff come. What does that have to do with me? It has everything to do with me if it's about me. If you came into the kingdom and it's still all about you, you need to just get born again. I'm serious. Because all of a sudden, it's all about you. Me, me, me. My, me, I, this, that, mine, me, me. What about me? What about this? All of a sudden, you got rights. And man, if you want rights and you want what you deserve, go to hell. Because when you come into the kingdom, you surrender everything. You give up. You surrender. You put off an old man, and you don't like have to crucify him every day. Yeah. He's just dead. Yeah. Right? You put off that old man. And then all of a sudden you walk in the newness of... Even so, we all walk in newness of life. I mean, it's all over the Bible. I don't know how we get out of it.
Yeah.
You need to read that thing to make it sound whatever you want to sound. You can make it... You can make the Bible sound what you want it to sound for you, for your benefit. Mm. And it's all about you still. It's not okay. It's not okay to read the Word to teach even. It's not okay for me to read the Word to teach to you. It's not okay for me to read the Word to give you a sermon. It ain't about that.
Amen.
I read my Bible so I can become what it says. I don't read my Bible so I can preach a good sermon to you. Man, I don't even know what it's like to try to get a sermon together. I don't. I want to become that Word. Why? Because Jesus was the Word made flesh that came and dwelt among us. And my flesh needs to become the very Word. When people see me, they ought to see Jesus.
Yeah.
And Jesus might have had dreads. Easy. And even if he didn't, we got this picture of Jesus like he's just... real pretty Caucasian man. Got news for you. You're wrong. Come on, we got this picture. Like, it's not black, it's not white, it's It's Jesus, man.
Yes.
I don't even know if we'd recognize him. It says there's nothing comely about him. There's no comeliness about him. There's nothing attractive that the world might be attracted to him. I'll say amen.
Yeah.
I'm just fine with you.
Yeah.
So I go through security and I get to the thing and they kind of give me a little bit of fun stuff. And I go through. I got my guitar there, my little guitar I'm traveling with. It's a little Taylor baby guitar, a little teen thing. Learn how to play. And the lady shouts over, she's with about five security people. She said, you in a rock and roll band? I said, no, I'm not. She said, what you got your guitar for? I said, I love to worship Jesus everywhere I go. Yeah. It's amazing. Oh. See, if people bring it out, you got to bring them Jesus, man.
That's right.
Yes.
There are people that are really loud.
That's right.
I'm one of them. But they're to be a loudspeaker for the kingdom. They might not know who they are. But how are they going to if they don't see it in you?
That's right.
So I started sharing with them about how much God loves them and stuff. Well, she said, well, how do you know that? I said, well, right now it's telling me you got a problem with your neck and with your left knee. He goes, this is crazy. I said, this is true. Come here. And the other security guards are there. What are they going to do? I said, look, if I said, there's a steel table between us. I said, I can't hurt you. Come here and let me see your hand. Why? I said, because I'm going to pray for you and God's going to heal you.
Yes.
Why would he do that? I said, why would he tell me that? I'm just being real. I'm not trying to give them the whole Christian-y language. The world doesn't understand that. And sometimes we want to talk Christian-y language. We need to just be real, man. Just love people. Just be you. You don't have to... Half the problem is we have to try to come up with what to say because we don't know what to say. Just be you. What would it be like if you were just you to someone? Well, you can't be nothing else, so just be you. Be the best you that God made.
Yeah.
Yeah. And this is real simple. Yeah. If it was hard, I couldn't get it. Honest. This thing's easy. So I said to her, I said, let me see your hand. She goes like this. I said, sure. She gives me a hand, prayed for her. She starts moving around. Sir, why? What? What? All the other ones were like, we're kind of making fun. Like a couple of them are kind of, you know. And I saw this tall fellow in the back sitting there. And I said to him, I said, sir, I said, you know, I said, you're too young to have severe back problems. He said, I ain't got any back problems. I said, you don't? I said, every morning when you wake up, you got severe pain going down your leg. It's hard for you to get up in the morning. How old are you? He told me like 24. He said, I said, come on, tell me that's not true. He goes, it is true. I said, all right then. So I went behind the steel table, walked over to him, prayed for him, his leg grew out, his back got healed.
Yeah.
I told him how amazing he was to God, and how special he was. And that speaks volumes because I'm not sitting there trying to be angry about because of the way they're talking. What does that matter?
Yeah.
What's it? When do we just love people? Come on, man.
Yeah.
It's not about you anymore. It's all about loving you. It's all about looking like Jesus. It's all about walking and talking, responding like Jesus. And when it's real basic, it's real simple. We've taken it away. We've made it the technical gospel instead of keeping it in the simplicity that's in Christ.
Yeah.
Come on, man. 2 Corinthians 11:3 says, I fear lest as Satan deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted and taken away from the simplicity that's in Christ.
Yeah.
The simplicity that's in Him. If it was simple, man, we ought to all probably get it. Because we think it's technical, we've got to research it. We think that study and show yourself approved means that you've got to read your Bible and you're approved. That's not the Bible. Study and show yourself approved. In other words, you study so you understand who God is. You establish relationship with God. So that when the will of God's in front of you, you can approve of it and say, this is the will of God.
Yeah.
Come on, it says, don't be conformed by the world. Don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Why? So that you can prove the will of God. I used to think that was prove and show people. It is, but it really means to approve the will of God. So you can know the will of God in your heart. Know the will of God in and out. They're not beyond a question of a doubt. Man, this thing is the will of God. Bang! Yeah. That's the way we're supposed to be. Don't be squeezed. Don't be molded. Don't be shifted. Don't be shaped.
You know, I travel all the time now, and I see lots of people, and I go to big churches, and I go do big conferences, and I see people, but man, it's so humbling, because I know what I'm capable of in my own strength. And that man's dead. And that man has never relied upon his own strength since the beginning of this thing. And all I've known is him. And the problem is, a lot of times we're trying to do it and do it ourselves. Don't work out. Because you build a kingdom that looks just like you. Come on. This thing's so much simpler. It makes me cry because I see people that are striving to do this and do this and do that and do this. And it just never works out. Because you weren't meant to strive. The only place you strive to is to enter the narrow gate.
That's right.
You strive to enter his rest, which is the narrow gate.
Yeah.
Same strive, same rest, same gate. But once you're in, it's so much bigger than it was outside.
Yeah.
Come on. Are you okay?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Jesus, help.
Thank you, Lord.
So pray for that young man. Another lady comes running up among the security people. She was the first one that kind of was giving me a little bit of trouble when I was telling her why I was there. She came up. She goes, "Sir," she goes, "you must pray for me. I'm very sick." She starts to talk to me about what's wrong with her. She has a big old Baker cyst behind her knee. Big old Baker cyst, and then she has something going on inside of here. Real bad pain all the time. So I prayed for her. She reaches down, that cyst disappeared under her hand.
Come on.
She starts crying. She kisses my hand.
Yep.
I said, "Look." I said, "God loves you all so much. You're amazing." She's standing there. "How can this be?" I said, "It's Christ in me. Christ in you." They're Christians.
Yeah.
But they don't know what it's like to have the King of Glory live in them, because most people think they're not worthy enough to have it happen.
Mm-hmm.
And if it was something that you had to do to attain it, you'd never get it.
Mm-hmm.
Ever. But there are people striving every day to try to get it, to get it, to get it, to get it, and it never works. And they wonder, "Why can't I have this? Why can't I have this?" Because you don't have to do anything. That's why. You're so used to doing and performing to get, to do, to do, to do, to do. You don't have to do anything. All you have to do is say yes. When's the last time you just went and said yes? When God says this about you, you said, "Yes, Lord." And the devil said something, you said, "But I already said yes."
Yep.
It's really that simple, man. Come on. I was a drug addict my whole life, an atheist my whole life. I didn't believe in Christianity. I could care less about it. Well, I didn't see people that were supernaturally incredible. I saw people that strive to try to say that they were something. And then live totally different than what they said. Why? Because people don't know who they are. It's an identity crisis. It's in the world, but it's worse in the church. We've got to know who we are. Once you know who you are, the devil's not a threat anymore. He's really not a threat anyway.
You have no idea. He comes, so what?
Mm-hmm.
I'm much too concerned with the King.
Yeah.
How much he loves me. I'm pretty sure that he couldn't defeat God.
Yep.
He tried that and it didn't work out. Then he came here and he made man in his image.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, "You know what? I want to defeat him through a man." We talk about the cross, we talk about the blood of Jesus. What did he do? What did he do? If it's all about the cross, we ought to probably understand it. He defeated the devil.
Woo!
Now we're our worst enemy.
Yeah.
It's really true. Do you know what the thing on the earth that's the worst enemy is? Selfishness, man. Ourselves. We, us, I. It's a whole lot simpler.
This thing's just like, you just like,
you get born again, you get refathered, then it doesn't matter about your father because your natural father might have done the best job he did, but it doesn't matter anymore because your identity doesn't come from him, it comes from God.
Yeah.
Then when you get refathered, you have a brand new identity.
Yeah.
You don't have to worry about a generational curse trying to creep through, you just change bloodlines.
Amen.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it is really technical.
we say this is the third and fourth generation. Yeah, that's true. How about you just change bloodlines? Get a new dad. I'm pretty sure new generation curse is making it through there.
Amen.
We make it harder. Well, that's not what I've been taught. Well, that's okay. Read your Bible. I'm telling you the truth right now. If you get born again, you get a brand new dad.
Yes.
When you get a brand new dad, there is no curse in you.
That's right. Yes.
Sometimes we go after a whole lot of stuff and we don't need to. That's a huge word.
Good word. Yes, yeah. It is. Very
that's good.
Word.
Awesome. It's needed.
So I prayed for a couple of these people. Another one came and followed me down. Prayed for her. A couple of them got born again. Why? Because I'm a Christian. Well, how comes it happens with you? Because I'm available.
Come on.
Well, why does it happen with you so much? Because I said yes. Man, there is nothing that disqualifies you. The only one that disqualifies you is you.
Yeah, true.
Come on, man. God didn't disqualify. He qualified you.
Yeah.
That's right.
He's qualified you. Why? Because Jesus is the mark.
Yep.
None of us could do it. I'm going to go into that. I'm going to tear it up.
Yeah.
I really am. I feel it. It's coming.
Yeah.
I didn't even get to where I got to go. But we're getting there.
Yeah.
You all right?
Oh,
yep.
Yeah.
Out of the ground.
It's getting late. Get on with it. Man, if you guys get done before I do, you can go. I love you. I'll not be upset at all. Might even go till tomorrow.
Yeah.
Come on.
All right.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah. You preach tomorrow anyway. So straight through. Just get it all done now. So listen to this, man. So I get on my flight. It's late. It's really late. Had a great time. Got to love people in the airport. It's just like... It's like I'm the only Christian in the airport. And I know that's not true. I know it's not true, but it seems that way. Because there's not a lot of people that are about anything else but their own business. We're so about our own business, and I'm not beating this up. I'm telling you that our perspective has to shift. Our focus has to shift. A lot of people come, they hear Todd White, they want Todd White to pray. Dude, what if you were released and who you're created to be? What if you didn't need me to pray? You could just do it yourself. And what if God flowed through you because you are just the same as I am? A person that needs to know who they are. And once we know who they are, once we know who we are, all of a sudden, hell gets destroyed.
Yeah. That's right.
See, the mission statement of anybody, whether you be an apostle, a pastor, a teacher, an evangelist, a prophet, doesn't matter who you are, it's to equip the saints for the works of ministry. That doesn't mean for the works of full-time ministry. That means that everywhere you go, you are one.
Yes.
Yeah.
Everywhere. It means your work is your mission field, your school is your... What if people at school, little kids at school, got a hold of this and all of a sudden they just tore up study hall, man? Because somebody got healed. Somebody got... Someone's leg grew out. Someone's severed arm grew out.
Oh, yeah.
What if someone's deaf ear opened up in study hall? You'd probably be... People be talking. What if he got sent to the principal's office because the teacher didn't agree with it? What if he went to the principal's office and he got healed too?
Yeah.
And what if they had to do a parent-student council? And what if you were there and all it was, not because you're persecuted for doing bad, but because you're persecuted for righteousness' sake. And it's commendable before God. And because it's commendable before God, God just showed up in the parent-teacher conference.
Yeah.
What if that happened? What if our schools were turned inside out by children who knew who they really were?
Yeah.
Come on.
What if priests, kinder school, what if school, preschool, where parents would drop their little kids off, 2 and 3 years old, wouldn't know any better and dared to pray for their nursery teachers? And what if the nursery teachers got whacked? What if they were laying on the floor and a bunch of little kids were just praying?
Come on,
what if?
Yeah.
Tell the truth. You know that God really wants to have it this way.
Yes.
Right. You know, if you're really awesome, I'm nobody special. You know who I am? I'm a man who knows who I am. That's all I am. So I appreciate y'all coming here, but man, just like you.
Yeah.
I really. I just know who I am. And I love people with all my heart.
Hey, man. I got to tell you this. Because he just opened this up so I can't miss this. We're just tag teaming. It's okay. But some of you are friends with Christ Community Church. Pastor Dave S., amazing man of God. Had breakfast with him the other day. He's got a daughter. And he told us this story. Lori and I were with him and Sherry. And he's got a daughter. She goes to the school there. And she's with the preschool class, five-year-olds in the school during the week, right?
Yeah.
She walks into the class. There's a whole bunch of these kids there. But they're five, they're innocent, and they're being trained, right? So what are they? They're available. And they're being trained and taught in the things of God. 5 years old, right? She walks in, and one of the little five-year-old boys says to her, she says, or the little boy says to his daughter, God told me you're going to have a baby. And she said, really? And another little five-year-old boy who's sitting there jumped up and said, God told me that too. He told me she's going to have a baby. And she said, really? And another little five-year-old boy, the third one, jumped up. And he said, God told me you're going to have a baby. And he's in your belly right now. She had no idea, right? Watch this. She said, do you really believe that? He said, yeah, because in the last month, 5 years old, in the last month, every day when you came in, I saw an angel with you. But today, I saw two angels with you. And I asked God, what's that about? And he said, the second one is for the baby in your belly.
Oh,
catches. I love it. She goes home, does an early pregnancy test. It came out positive. She went and got tested. She's pregnant.
Yeah.
So I get on the plane, I go home, it's late. I mean, it's probably 2:30. I'm like, wow, this is crazy. All right, well, I'm just gonna drive. I'm going to go another way because I'm going to go and I'm going to stop by and just get something to eat real quick before I get home because I'm hungry. I've been driving all day. So I go and no one's here. It's just a red light. And like, so I turn. All of a sudden, whoop, whoop. It's adding to an amazing day right now. So I'm thinking to myself, my conscience isn't violated. I don't know what I did wrong. Because I know I wasn't speeding. And I'm really innocent because I don't know what I did. See, I don't willfully do anything that I know I'm not supposed to do.
Right.
I don't care what it is. My conscience is too valuable. Yeah. I won't violate this thing. I need to have this right here. And violating your conscience separates you here. And it's not okay. Why would this... What could be worth here that it's because this isn't here? Because when this is here, you just love God too much. You just can't. Oh, I live that way my whole life. My wife will tell you. I just live there. So, this police officer behind me, I'm like, Lord, what did I do wrong? He didn't say anything. So I'm sitting there. Now I'm in my truck, it's 3 o'clock in the morning. I got my window down. Police officer comes up. Just picture it, right? License registration. I said, yes, sir. I said, I don't know what I did wrong. He said, it's no turn on red. I went, oh, I'm just tired. I didn't even see it. I felt bad. I'm like, I'm sorry. I said, I honestly didn't see it. I said, I just came from Canada. I said, my flights were delayed. I said, I came down. I didn't tell him I preached the gospel. I didn't tell him anything about Jesus. I just said, yeah, I'm sorry. Because I won't use the liberty that I have as a Christian to get things.
Yeah.
That's good. Mm-hmm.
That's hypocrisy and it's trash.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I'll just say that's enough of that. I won't go any further because I've seen a lot of stuff.
Whew. Yeah.
So he goes back. He's back for a while. And I'm sitting there like, Lord, you're amazing. Sorry. He said, you didn't know. You didn't see it. And the Lord says, tell him that his sister's going to be okay. So he comes up to the car with my license and my stuff. And he said, hey, and he goes, just so you know, we're not out here just to bust everybody. He said, I understand you're tired. He said, go and get some rest. I'm just going to give you a warning. So he gives me the warning. I said to him, I said, sir. And now he's freaked out because now I'm talking to him. I got him at the car. Police don't like it when you keep him at the car for a long time. Right? But I'm innocent. I'm clean. Oh, it's so clean. It's crazy. The blood is washing me so clean. I am like... up squeaking. Blood does more than just wash you on the outside. That'd be good.
Yeah.
But it's better that your conscience can be cleaned. Yeah. By blood.
Amen.
It's the cleansing of your conscience from dead works. You know that's the answer. Do you know that? When you're cleansed with your conscience from dead works and understand the blood, your past doesn't exist anymore. And all of a sudden, what? This is too good to be true. Just keep dreaming. Go ahead. Why? Because it's God's dream. He dreamt about you. This is why you're here.
Come on.
This is reality that you're here. So the cop's like, all right. I said, sir, this is going to really freak you out. I said, I know it is. And he said, what? I said, I'm supposed to tell you that your sister, she just had a bout with cancer, that she's going to be just fine. The Lord just told me. He said, how do you know about my sister? I said, sir, I said, I was in Canada. I didn't tell you why. I said, I'm in Israel. I preach the gospel. I said, but I believe we serve a God that's so much bigger than just an Easter story.
Yeah.
I said, he's amazing. I said, when you walked away, I just talking to him. I talk to him. He comes in my car. He's in here with me now. I said, you know what? I said, it's amazing. I said, because your sister had this bout, she's going to be fine. He said, well, he said, this is really crazy. This is crazy. I said, it is. I said, your sister, he said, yeah, she just got over a bout with cancer. And she's really, I said, she's going to be amazing. I said, I'm going to pray for her right now. I didn't give him a chance to back out. I said, Father, I thank you in Jesus' name.
Yeah.
For this amazing woman in Jesus' name. I thank you, Papa, for no more.
Yeah.
Paul was her name.
Yeah.
He just said, I don't know what to say. I said, thanks for the warning. So serious. I called my wife. It's like 3 o'clock. I said, honey, I just got pulled over by the police. I got pulled over with a guy before. And the same kind of stuff happened. God just, because he loves people.
Yeah, right.
That's amazing. And he said, I said, sir, I said, this will change your life. You'll never be the same. I said, I love you and I thank you so much. God loves you, man. Jesus paid a price for you. You're amazing. Thank you. I don't even know if he's a believer. At that point, before that, maybe not. That's too much, Dan.
Yeah.
What if we just walked that way? What if everything? Come on, that's good news. All right, you ready? Let's go somewhere. That's not good. I didn't start yet, right? If you're standing, find a seat. No, I won't keep you for too long, but I do want to... Remember earlier we said where Moses was singing that song about show me your glory, show me your glory. You know, I hear all this talk about the glory, the glory, the glory. Oh, that's cool, man. You know what God said when Moses said, show me your glory? God said, let my goodness pass before you. Show me your glory. All right, here comes my goodness. Show me your glory. All right, I'll let all my goodness pass before you. What if we had that picture of God? You want to see the glory of God? What if we just wanted to see the goodness of God? What if we knew that it was Christ in us, the hope of what if the hope of goodness was part of that?
Wow. That's good.
That's just good news. It's good tidings. Great joy.
There you go.
All right, you ready?
Yeah.
Uh-oh, here we go. Come on.
Okay. When I first came into the kingdom, see that scripture stamped on that wallpaper, or painted, or whatever, stenciled? When I first came out of Teen Challenge, God said, I'm going to stamp the scripture on your forehead. It's going to be seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. That's the whole thing right there. Everything's inside of there. Everything. When I say to you about the kingdom, and we say, well, what's the Bible about? And that now this new, the authority, the kingdom of God, the reign, the kingdom of God. And when we say kingdom, the first thing you think is authority. Which is true. God gave us dominion. And in the garden, He gave man dominion. He said, subdue the earth, have dominion. That's what He said. So it's about kingdom. It's about rule and reign. Yes, it is. But do you know that you can rule and reign, and you can actually walk in the power of God, understanding your dominion with God? You can walk that way with the power and not quench the Spirit, but you can walk outside of the character of God and grieve the Spirit. So there's two things that are both utterly important. One is to not quench the Spirit, the other is to not grieve the Spirit. So when you seek first the kingdom of God, it's seeking first His rule and His reign, the kingdom and the lordship of Jesus, the reigning dominion of the lordship of Jesus Christ in your life, not just in one area, but in every area of your life. When you seek the righteousness of God, you're seeking what it means to be right in the eyes of God. And if you don't understand what it means to be right in the eyes of God, you'll think you have to attain something in order to be right. And you'll be in the Old Testament of the law of do's and trying to do to gain and do to get. And you'll be all twisted up and whacked out. Serious, because listen, in the world where performance-based, you only are good as you perform. You're on your sales job, you're only as good as you sell. If you don't sell, you're no good. You're only as good as your last sale. I have that thing in sales, if you're only as good as your last sale. Right? So you do and you do and you strive and you strive and you're rewarded because of what you do. But in the Bible, you're not rewarded because of what you do. See, if I preach the gospel for 35 years, let's say, or 40 or 50 years, 60 years, and I get to heaven, I stand before God, there could be a guy that got born again the day before, and the pay's the same.
Yeah.
I'm not doing anything to get anything. I'm living from a place. I don't do stuff because I have to. I do things with God because I get to.
Amen.
I don't do stuff because it's just what we do. I do stuff because it's who we are.
Let's get into the Bible. Hold it. Jesus. All right. Let's go to Hebrews. Hebrews 5. You guys all right?
Yep. Yeah.
Everywhere I'm going, the question is the same. People say, how do we do these things that you do? How do we walk like this? I mean, it's awesome. How do you do it? And they ask Jesus the same thing. Do you know that?
That's right.
Said, what do we have to do?
That's right.
Jesus, you don't have to do anything. You believe. It's the same question. Nicodemus came to Jesus at night and he said, man, we know you're a teacher come from God. Because no one can do the things that you do. And Nicodemus Jesus didn't say, here's how you do it. He said, I tell you the truth, you'll never even see it unless you become it. Nicodemus said, What do we got? No one can do these things that you do. And we know you're from God because you can't do these things that you do. Jesus said, you have to be something. That's big. That's revelation. That's a revelatory word in the church because it's out of being that you do. You be to do. You be to do. I'm serious. You have to be in a state of being to walk in a state of doing. Otherwise, you're walking in a state of doing, thinking that what you do, because God flows through you miraculously and heals somebody, that He's okay with your life. It's not that. God's stamp of approval, it's not that He does a miracle through you. Come on! The stamp of approval is a blood stamp.
Yeah.
It's totally different. He stamps you with the blood of His Son. He stamps you. He seals you with Holy Spirit. Why? Man, it's all about being a son.
Amen.
It's all about being a son.
Yes.
Oh, hallelujah.
That's so good. Okay. People say, what's the deep thing of God? What's God saying? I keep running into that, man. What's God saying, brother? He's saying the same thing. He doesn't change.
That's right.
Amen.
Same yesterday, today. It's still in today. It could be tomorrow, but it still doesn't change. Behold, I will do a new thing. And people like to come up with all kinds of different ideas of the new thing. It's still the same thing. Oh, listen to this. Here's the deep thing of God. Hebrews 5. We'll start in verse 12. It says, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk instead of solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk. See, Paul wanted to talk, or the writer of Hebrews, wanted to talk to them about Melchizedek, about some different things. And he said, I can't even talk to you about it now. I can't. This time, you ought to be a teacher by this time. You need someone to teach you the first things of the oracles of God. And you've come to need milk instead of solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness.
Amen.
Do you know how solid this is? So solid, it's crazy. It is. In righteousness, for he's a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, who by reason of use have their senses trained to discern both good and evil by reason of use. So he's saying, guys, you should be teachers. Something's wrong. I can't even give you meat. You still have to have milk. Why? Because you can't understand the basic oracles and the first beginning principles of the gospel. And that is the word of righteousness. Because until righteousness is understood in your heart, and righteousness becomes your life, and you realize just how right you are with God, you're just a people button away from losing it. All of a sudden, situations become your potter because you don't know who you are. Your identity is sealed by blood. It can't be shifted. God's not going to change his mind about you. He says, I love you. Not because of what you've done, but because of what he's done. Because no one could do what needed to be done to bring you back and to recreate you as a son.
Yeah, yeah.
Come on, it's the simple stuff. We say, well, that, come on, we understand that. No, we don't.
Yes.
If situations bother you, and people bother you, and people get under your skin, and righteousness is not understood.
That's right.
Come on, righteousness, the gospel sets you free from you. And if you're free from you, you're free from everybody else. All you'll do is love them and pray for them. You won't sit there. You'll pray for them. You'll intercede for them. You'll bring them before the Father. Come on, man.
Yeah.
This is simple. Go to 2 Timothy.
Yeah. Oh, this is my life.
I love miracles, guys. I love prophesying. I love watching the sick be healed. I love walking through an airport and just having God touch people. I love it. I love when people come up to you and they try to pet you because of what you do. And you can bring them to a place of realizing who they are. So they can say, wait a minute, was it you anyway? Wow. See, that's the joy of this thing. I'm to bring you to a place where you can walk and talk like Jesus, where you can act like Jesus. Come on. If I were to ask you right now, if I were to say, are you just as righteous as Jesus? If I were to say, are you just as righteous as Jesus? I have very few hands. Guaranteed. Why? That's blasphemy. I think it's more blasphemy than telling God you're not something that he says you are.
Come on. That's good words.
Come on. I start to get people shaking on this one. I'm going to preach the gospel because that's what I do. That's all I do. Oh, listen to this. 2 Timothy 3, verse 16 and 17 says that all scripture, what scripture? All scripture is God breathed, is breathed by God.
Yes.
And it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. Why? Why is it used for that? So that you can be equipped thoroughly for every good work.
Yes.
All scripture is God breathed. It's used for repute, reproof, for correcting. It's used for rebuke. It's used for edification. It's used for encouragement. All scripture is breathed by God for training in righteousness.
Yep.
Come on, it's all about that. There's a way to it. Define righteousness. Define righteousness. We're going to, man. First, before I define it now, I want to go to do something. Let's go to Deuteronomy 6. I'm going to define righteousness. The Old Testament. This is crazy. Oh my gosh, it's amazing. Deuteronomy 6. Now watch this. It says, then it will be, Deuteronomy 6:25. Then it will be righteousness for us. What will be? If we carefully observe, or we are careful to observe, all these commandments before the Lord our God, as He's commanded us. So He says, guys, you will have righteousness if you're careful to observe all the commands that your Lord your God gives you. Every one of them, all the day long, every second of every day, every one of them to the T. Well, that doesn't sound hard, except there's 613. There are 613 laws that God gave children. And He said, if you're careful to obey every one of these, all the day long, all the night long, never transgress one. Listen, in James, it says that if you fall short in one, you can obey 99.9% of the law all the days of your life, be doing amazing, 35 years, look at what I can do, look at what I can do, and just slip. Just one tenth of the law. And all of a sudden, James says, transgress them all.
Right.
Why? Because God says, you'll be right in my eyes if you do this. So the Old Testament is, if you do this, you can have this. That's amazing. So they tried. And to top it off, check this out. Go to Deuteronomy 28. Because a lot of people like to quote this stuff, but check it out, because it's crazy. Deuteronomy 28, this is what happens when, if you attain righteousness, if you step into righteousness. In Deuteronomy 28, it says, this is the blessings that's going to come upon your life. So God's like saying, look at all this hanging here. If you obey that, all this is going to go, boom. Oh, that's going to be awesome. So they tried and tried. This is the blessings. In verse 1, it says, now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all His commandments, which I command you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you, because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the country. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body, the produce of your ground, the increase of your herds, the increase of your cattle, and the offspring of your flocks. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Blessed shall you be when you come in. Blessed shall you be when you go out. The Lord will cause your enemies who rise against you to be defeated before your face. They shall come out against you one way and flee before you seven different ways. The Lord will command the blessing on all your storehouses and in everything that you set to your hand. He'll bless you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. The Lord will establish you as a holy people to Himself, just as He has sworn to you, if you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in His ways. All the peoples of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you. The Lord will grant you plenty of goods in the fruit of your body and the increase of your livestock, in the produce of your ground, in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers to give to you. The Lord will open to you His good treasure, the heavens, and give rain to your land in its season, and bless all the work of your hand. You shall lend to many nations, and you shall not borrow. And the Lord will make you the head and not the tail. I've heard that before. You shall be above only and not beneath, if you heed the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today, and are careful to observe them all. So you shall not turn aside from any of the words which I command you this day, to the right or to the left, to go after any other gods and to serve them. Dude, that's a package.
Yep.
Pretty much at every area of your life, you're going to be blessed. At your job, at your school, in your house, with your family, everywhere you go, it's going to be amazing. And God said, if you walk it out, every commandment to the T, all the days of your life. So people are still trying today, living under the same law, trying to walk out everything just right, just perfect, in order to attain something, not realizing that Jesus attained something that you can't.
That's right.
Yeah, come on. See, it's so hard. Why did Paul, who knew everything, Paul was a genius.
Yes.
Trained under Gamaliel, who Saul, who became Paul. He was brilliant, man. Amazing. He said, I dare not know anything except for Jesus Christ and Him crucified.
That's right.
Why? Because none of it meant anything. It's all but dung.
Yeah.
That's what Paul said.
Yeah.
Why? Because if we can't get this, we can't get anything. You'll build a kingdom without righteousness as a cornerstone, and all of a sudden your building gets so high it's built crooked and it collapses. And then you have to come back to the very first principles and the oracles of God. Come on.
Yep.
Simplicity. Oh, good news for you.
Amen.
Jesus comes on the earth and a Savior is born and a shepherd's in the field. Yes. Come on, it's prophesied, man. It's going to happen. It's coming. It's on the earth. God speaks to shepherds through an angel and says, behold, unto you this day, a Savior is born. Woo! God gets so happy, He interrupts Himself. Come on! He does! Angels move everywhere! Whoa! Peace on earth! There was no peace on earth.
That's right.
Come on, from Malachi to Matthew, there was no voice, there was nothing. No revelatory word, no speaking of anything. God didn't speak. Nobody heard Him. Nobody knew anything. The word was closed. Nobody could hear anything. It was crazy. All of a sudden, God speaks. Woohoo! Something big must be going on.
Yeah.
Come on, God gets so happy. If He's so happy to interrupt Himself, we ought to get happy. It's crazy. So Jesus walks His life. He lives this life in this impossible attainment. To attain righteousness in one's own strength. Jesus, the one that is impregnated, Holy Spirit impregnates Mary. He lived and walks this out as a man. Yes. He didn't walk this thing out as God. God didn't want to defeat devil as God. He could have done that in a second. He wanted to defeat the devil by one made in His image, a man.
Yeah.
So when you read in Hebrews, the man, Christ Jesus, He sits at the right hand. The man. Who's the man? Jesus is the man. So He walks this whole thing out for 30 years. Obeys the whole law. John the Baptist is down in the river. And he's baptizing people. And it's awesome. And people are coming forever just to get out there. To see this one crying out in the wilderness. Make a straight path for the Lord to travel. Mm-hmm. That's what He's saying. Guarantee He had dreads. Come on, man. He's out there a long time. He didn't have a comb. John is baptizing people in repentance. All of a sudden, Jesus comes rolling down into the river. John knows that God said, you're going to see Him. He's going to come. John doesn't know what day it's coming. John looks and sees Jesus. Jesus is walking down into the river. John goes, dude.
Yeah.
Pretty much. What do you think it looked like? I guarantee it was messed up. It says it's in Scripture. It's in Matthew 3. I need to be baptized but you.
That's right.
Jesus says, I need you to baptize me, John. John says, I need you to baptize me. And you come to me? Jesus says, let it be so. To fulfill all righteousness.
All
righteousness.
Yes.
Listen. The whole Old Testament was about righteousness that they couldn't attain. And they tried. And they tried. And they tried. And Moses was given the ministry of condemnation. And it had glory.
That's right.
That's what it says.
That's right.
And we've been given a different ministry. And this ministry is all about righteousness. Yes. Which has much more glory. Moses came off the mountain with the law that he couldn't walk out. And his face shined. Mm-hmm. And they had to put a veil over his face because everyone was scared. Freaked out by the glowing man. Come on! Jesus attained something. So that you're supposed to look in a mirror and behold with an unveiled face the glory of the Lord. Much more glory. You're not supposed to take the veil off. You're supposed to shine and be a peculiar people.
Yes.
You're supposed to shine in the midst of a corrupt and perverse generation. Because you know Him. Because you've got relationship with Him. So Jesus fulfills all righteousness. It wouldn't have been fulfilled unless He said, let it be so, to fulfill all righteousness.
Yes.
Jesus goes down in the river. John baptizes Him. Comes down the river, comes back up, and the heavens
open up.
Are open. Legally. Listen to me.
Yeah.
So deep in my heart, because there's so many people thinking the heavens closed. No! The heavens opened in small amounts of time, small pockets of time in the Old Testament. But they only stayed open for a very small period of time. Bing, 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 bing. God was quiet. 400 years, nothing. Jesus goes down, pay close attention. When he comes up out of the river, the heavens are open, and God became something that he wasn't before. He was God Almighty. He was Jehovah Rapha. He was Jehovah Jireh. He was Jehovah Nisi. He was Jehovah. He was this, he was that. But he wasn't Daddy. God said the heavens were open legally and they can never shut again.
True.
Jesus opened one fulfilled righteousness. All God wanted was sons. In the Old Testament, they couldn't do it. They tried and tried and tried. Tried and tried and tried. Tried and tried, and it never happened. Jesus comes and he does it.
Yes.
He does it.
Yes.
That's all.
Yes.
He goes down and the heavens open. He said, behold my son, in whom I'm well pleased.
Yes.
That's what God said. That's what he said.
Hallelujah.
You know how amazing this is?
Amen.
If the whole Bible is about righteousness, and it says that Jesus fulfilled all righteousness, here's something that's amazing. Jesus walked out the whole law, every T, every I. Did it all.
Yes.
Completely, 100%.
Yes.
And now, the law and the prophets were until John. That's what it says.
Right.
Jesus comes out of that river. Now there's a new law. It's the law of liberty.
Yeah.
It's the law of love. Look, here, check this out. How hard is it to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your strength, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all of your being? Jesus did something and attained something so that you could step into it for free, step into an inheritance, because an inheritance is something that you receive because of somebody else's work. So Jesus attained something, you can step into it because wages are received when you work for something and it's given.
Yeah.
Inheritance is something that somebody pays for to give you so that you can step into it by free.
It's crazy, dude. The whole gospel's in here. It's absolutely nuts. I don't know why. See why we can't get it? Because it's too easy. It's too simple. It can't be too simple. Look, in Romans 3. Oh my gosh. Makes me cry because God's so good. Jesus is so good.
Yes.
He
just wants us to get the simplicity of this thing. Are you guys okay?
Oh,
yes.
I'll be messed up for all of you. See, you don't understand. I didn't do anything to get this. All I did was hurt people and destroy people. God said you don't got to do anything. You got to believe that what Jesus has done is enough, and you step into it right there, baby.
Yeah.
Well, that's too good. No, there's got to be more. No, you got to come like a kid, or you'll never get it. Sometimes we got to lay our brain down all the time. Lay your brain down, man. Your brain can't take you where your heart wants to.
That's right.
God says you are a son. When's the last time we just said yes, God?
Yeah.
Yes. He says you're a son. Don't say yeah, but. No, yeah, but it's a devil. Get it out of you. I'm not saying yeah, devil. I'm just saying yeah, buts and what ifs are devils. They're excuses. In Romans 3, it says in verse 5.
Oh my gosh.
Verse 20, it says, therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh shall be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. And in verse 21, it says this, but now the righteousness of God, apart from the law, is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. All the prophets the prophets of the Old Testament prophesied that this day was coming when people would be just right in the sight of God by nothing that they had to do themselves.
Come on, man.
All the while, listen, do you understand that they were that this thing was a promise that wasn't for them, but they saw it and they were glad, they rejoiced in it and they were glad. Jesus is talking to the Pharisees, they're talking about Abraham. Our father is Abraham. He's talking about Abraham saw it and he was glad. He knew it was coming and he was glad. Why? Because it was something that couldn't be attained through the law. They tried and tried and nobody could do it. So the prophets of old, they prophesied, "Oh, blessed is the man whose sins and lawless acts are forgiven." David had a spirit of grace. He saw the spirit of grace with the spirit of revelation. And in Romans 4, he starts talking about it. Romans 3, starts talking about, "Look, blessed is the man whose trespasses are imputed against him. The Lord wipes out and remembers it no more."
That's right.
That's what he said. Blessed is that man. And we're not blessed until we realize that it's really true.
Come on.
It's the reality of this gospel. Listen to this. "Even the righteousness of God through faith in Christ Jesus to all and on all who believe. For there is no difference." Why? "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. In their own strength, trying to attain righteousness, everybody fell short." The Pharisees and the Sadducees were the most amazing people of their day. Teachers of the law, memorized the Torah, like amazing. And Jesus said, "Unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, you'll never see it." Wow, that's crazy. And he actually says it in Matthew 3. He says, "Be perfect even as your heavenly Father is perfect." There is a place of maturity that God wants us to get to. And the place of maturity is the simplicity that's in the Christ.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you think you've got to do it. You try to do it. See, in the law, what they did was they tried day after day. And even though they knew to do right, they didn't. And even though they willed to do it, they couldn't. Listen to me. Every day, they knew what to do. They knew what to do. "Oh, darn. I didn't want to do that, but I did. Oh, man, I know I should do that, but I'm not. Oh, what's wrong with me?" Romans 7, man. That's the way they lived their whole life in the Old Testament. Even though they wanted to, they couldn't. And even though they willed to do, they didn't. And then they said, "Well, it's sin in us that's doing it." I got news for you. When you get born again, your sin nature gets clipped out.
Amen.
See, people get scared when I talk like that. Read your Bible.
Yep.
Come on, God's book's different than your book. He doesn't call you a sinner anymore, guys.
That's right.
Well, that's crazy. What are you trying to talk about? People have been taught that God calls the saints, saints that are in heaven. Why did he say to the saints who are in Corinth? Did you read about the Corinthians? It wasn't that good. It was pretty bad, but he called them saints. Do you know that God's sovereign, and I want to explain something to you. I don't believe ever that God sovereignly marks people for all time. I don't believe that. But I do believe that if God speaks it, it's true. Period. He's not a man that he should lie.
That's right.
Watch this. If God were to say, this black pulpit right here, this here pulpit is white. Something has to happen. We all know by looking at that it's not white. Either this pulpit, when God says it, immediately turns white, or black is the new white.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Either or.
That's good.
I'm serious.
Yeah.
Either that's the new white, or that pulpit, bang, turns white when God says it. Why? Because he's sovereign. He's not a man.
That's right. Amen.
And it's that same God that says about you that you're sons and daughters.
Amen.
Whom he's well pleased.
Yeah.
Amen.
Not because of what you can do. Because all of your works, all of your deeds are like filthy rags. All the stuff that you can try to attain to earn righteousness in your own strength are filthy rags before the Father. I can't do any of this in my own strength. Absolutely zero of it. But God said, "I'm a son." Yeah. I just dared to say, from day one, yes, I am. Everybody around me says, "You're not, you're not, you're not." I said, "But the Bible says I am." "Yeah, but you're not. Look at this." "No, I am." Why? Because the Bible tells me so.
Amen.
Amen. Yes. That's right.
Yes. Yeah.
So solid. It says this, being justified freely by his grace through redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God sent forth as a propitiation by his blood through faith. Propitiation is the substitute. We've already talked about that. Or people, I hope you've heard about that anyway. By his blood through faith to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance God passed over the sins that were previously committed, to demonstrate at the present time his righteousness, that he might be the just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
So righteousness apart from the law. Okay, let's just read. Where's boasting then? Is it excluded? It's excluded. By what law? Of works? No, by the law of faith. Therefore we conclude. What's the conclusion? That a man is justified by faith apart from the works of the law. Or is he the God of the Jews only? Or is he not also the God of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles too, since there is one God who will justify circumcised by faith and uncircumcised through faith. Do we then make void the law through faith? Certainly not. On the contrary, we establish the law. Abraham. What shall we say then? Abraham our father was found according to the flesh. For if Abraham was justified by works, I'm telling you that right now, there is something about Romans 4 that is going to become so apparent. So apparent because people are trying to achieve something through works that was achieved through faith.
That's right.
And when you look at Abraham's life, it says, Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Abraham believed God, it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace, but as debt. Look, but to him who does not work, but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted, is laid up into his account for righteousness.
Yes.
Just as David also described the blessedness of the man whom God imputes righteousness apart from works. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and sins are covered.
Mm-hmm.
Blessed is the man whom the Lord shall not impute sin.
Yes.
Amen.
Listen to me. Do you know what imputed righteousness means? Imputed means given to freely. You know the word righteousness means this. First we'll get that one. Righteousness means. Righteousness, a lot of people think, well, when you say righteousness, it means that I do good, and I do good things, and I do this, and I do that. Righteousness has nothing to do with what you do.
Right.
Righteousness is a state of being.
Amen.
And out of the state of being, holiness comes out.
Yeah, that's right.
Yes. Why? It doesn't say do holy as he is holy. It says be holy as he is holy. Righteousness is the kind of tree that you are. And righteousness bears its fruit unto holiness.
Come on, that's right.
This is solid stuff, man.
Yes.
There's no getting out of this. Why would you want to?
Amen.
Why would you want to be something that God says you're not? Why wouldn't you want to step into something freely by grace? Justified means just as if I never sinned. We love to say that, and that's true. Justified is the state, the actual state of righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been justified. I've been set free from the law. Justified by grace, having freedom. Now I have peace with God. It's Romans 5:1. I have peace with God. Why? Because of believing in Jesus. It says that it was put into Abraham's account. It was accounted, it was accredited unto him. Why? The Bible says it wasn't just written for him. It was written for us. I want you to examine something. When you look at Abraham, and you look at the way that Abraham was, and you look at God that says in the Bible that it was accredited or accounted to him because he did not waver at the promise. I want you to think with me. Where did Ishmael come from?
Yeah,
I know.
Right?
No, listen. See, I love that. Because I'm looking at that and I'm like, in my eyes, that looks like wavering. I'm serious. You're going to have a son. Going to come through Sarah. This is the way it's going to be. You're going to be blessed. It's going to be amazing. Your inheritance, 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 it's going to be awesome. Okay, God? Yes. Abraham, and Sarah brings him and says, look, it's not working. Hagar, let's help God. Everyone's like, okay. So here's this.
Like wavering.
That looks like wavering. Remember the time when Sarah was in front and she was with Abraham and they came and Abraham says, tell him you're my sister.
That's right.
Yeah. Lie to them. Just tell them. That looks like wavering. You're 90 and you're amazingly beautiful. Tell them you're my sister. So they don't want you. Come on. So he's trying to do things to help God. Do you understand? He's trying to help God stop this thing. Look at Sarah. Sarah was told, you're going to have a boy. So what's going to happen? Going to be amazing. Did you just laugh at me? No. So God asked her, did you laugh? She did laugh. And then she lied. So she laughed and she lied. Watch this. This is so important because we don't see it this way. Every Old Testament saint that messed up in the Old Testament didn't go down in the New Testament that way.
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
Sarah went down as an amazing woman of faith.
Yeah.
Abraham went down as one that didn't waver. Through the blood, you look different.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
See, will you understand the power of grace? Grace is amazing. Grace is God's willingness to forgive you. God's willingness to love you.
Amen.
God's willingness to empower you. God's willingness to just say, you are what I say you are.
Oh, come on.
All He wants us to do is agree with what He says.
Mm-hmm.
You can't attain this thing. You can do what you want. You can try your heart out. You can be the best person in the whole world and do everything you can and do everything perfect. And it's all filthy rags before the Father.
Yeah.
Come on, but all you got to do is say, okay, Jesus, you did it. I'm just going to believe you did it. It was enough. And it all starts there.
Yep.
And then all of a sudden, you stand before Him one day. And you do lots of miracles and prophesy, cast out demons. And you don't hear the Lord say, away from me, I never knew you.
Oh my.
You who regarded lawlessness. Why? It's impossible for you to want to step into a lifestyle of lawlessness when righteousness is understood in your heart.
That's right.
It's impossible.
Hallelujah.
If you've fallen away, and you're at a place where you've done some stupid stuff, knock it off. God's book is different than your book. God doesn't say, bad. Satan says that.
That's
Satan
right.
tries to bind you and to hold you to something that you can't possibly be. Tries to make you just like him. Tries to make you hopeless. Tries to make you depressed. Tries to make you sad. Tries to make you anxious.
Come on.
Righteous. It's attained through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Jesus paid the price. See, when Satan hung him on the tree, he wiped out the transgressions, wiped out the handwriting that was against us.
Yes.
Every bit of it was wiped out on the tree.
Yes.
Satan saw Jesus, one like the first Adam, because Jesus was the second Adam, which means he was like the first Adam. He's like the second Adam. He saw him like this before. All I got to do is destroy him. I've got to take this guy out. I've got to take him out. I've got to take him out. Too late. He attained something. He took him out. He hung him on a tree. Jesus goes and pays 3 days for you, for me.
Yeah.
Pays it all in full. Holy Spirit says, come on. It's time. Let's go. Here's the keys. Jesus regains the keys. He comes up. Mary's like, Rabboni, don't touch me. Don't touch me. I haven't yet gone up. Don't. Just tell him I'm going to my Father and your Father.
Come on.
That's what he says.
Come on.
My Father,
my Father and your Father.
Yes.
My God, your God.
Come on.
Yep.
Never before.
Yep.
Never before was it my Father
That's
and your Father. When Jesus got baptized, it was my Father. Yeah. But when Jesus got resurrected, listen, Satan doesn't want you to understand. There's blood that's crying out on the mercy seat every day.
Yes.
It never coagulates. It's constantly mercy, mercy, mercy. And God says, if my people would only believe, would only believe. It's that basic, just believe. You might be going through some stuff in your life and say, well, there can't possibly be a God because I wouldn't be going through this. God doesn't come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. If you're going through death, loss, and destruction, it's not your dad.
That's right.
The devil comes to steal, to kill, to destroy. Jesus came to give you life, that you may have life and have it more abundantly. Come on. In Romans 5, it's one last one. There's blood crying out for you. Don't resist him. He's just so nice, so amazing, so loving. You gotta get that you think you're God out of this. Well, yeah, but I've been taught, man, great. This is all Bible. This is the Word. Any of you who are Bible scholars have been following along with me. This is all the Word of God.
Yes, it is.
Blessed are you, Team Challenge guys.
Mm-hmm.
About to be free.
Mm.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah.
So serious. You're already free. Just going to bring out the freeness.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Stick with what you're in, man. You're going to be really amazing.
Yeah.
You'll be able to see we're transformed so we can transform.
That's right.
We can transform so that we can transform.
Yeah.
When you walk, you have the ability to transform in your life every day, all the time. Okay. Let me do this because I'm... It's crazy, man. Does this make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. See, in Romans 5, 25 is so good. It's like I heard Dan say, it's the 1-2 punch of God. Jesus was delivered up because of our offenses. So he was crucified because of our offenses. He wiped out the handwriting against us. But he was justified. He was raised for you to be righteous. He was raised for you to be justified in the eyes of God. Why? It's the 1-2 punch. See, there's a lot of people that believe half the cross. Only half. Only the half that gets you forgiven, but really don't even believe they're forgiven because they keep remembering things that they've been forgiven of. So the cross that says that he was delivered up for your offenses, he was crucified, the handwriting of requirement was wiped out. It is no more. There is no requirements against you.
Mm-hmm.
None.
That's right.
All you got to do is say, I believe. Period. Well, it's too simple. You want it that way. Believe me. The other way, too hard. All day you sweat. You know, the priests would wear linen into the most holy place because they weren't allowed to sweat. You're not allowed to sweat to enter into this thing, man. It's too much striving. Too much trying to work it out in your own strength. You can't do it. That's why you live in his strength. And where's the devil at when you live in his strength? It says, delivered up for our offenses, he was raised because of our justification. Look at this. In verse 15, it says in Romans 5, the free gift is not like the offense, for if by the one man's offense many died, much more by the grace of God and the gift of the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many. Do you know that when you were born into sin? Right?
Mm-hmm.
You understand that? Do you know that you didn't have to sin to be a sinner? When you first sinned and first messed up, you just manifested who you were. Do you know that it was a price that was paid for you? You inherited that through the first Adam?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know that was inheritance? Not a very good one, but that's what you inherited. When Jesus paid the price, you inherited something completely, something different.
Yes.
You inherited righteousness. That's not even good to think about. Adam, the first Adam paid the price for me to be a sinner. Great. The second Adam paid the price for you to be more righteous.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
It says, the gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned, for the judgment which came through one offense resulted in condemnation. But the free gift which came from many offenses resulted in justification.
Yes.
Watch this. For if by one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign through the one Christ Jesus.
Amen.
He's saying that through the abundance of grace that nobody deserved. You didn't deserve it. It was freely given. It was unmerited favor. Yes, it is. But grace is God's ability to love you. God's ability to forgive you. God's ability to empower you. Amen. God's willingness to empower you. His willingness to love you. Amen. And you are to reign as a king and a queen, as a priest, as a holy generation, as a royal priesthood. In this life, reign as a king in this life through the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness. And without it, you're going through life getting banged by everything, wondering why is everything this way? Why is everything this way? When you're all about him, he's then all about you. And you reign as a king through the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness. The cross is all about righteousness, guys. It's all about you've been made right through him. How could you not help? You can't help but to become love when this is understood. You don't have to do anything. What greater love? Why? Whoa! You'll spend a little bit being freaked out. Well, why? Yeah, but... okay. What? And then you'll finally do this. Yes!
Amen.
And everything changes.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
Because when you say, but why? Satan's right there.
Oh, yeah.
But when you say, okay.
Yes.
And when you say yes to one thing, you've got to say yes to everything else that God says.
Yeah.
And God sees you as if you've walked out the law 100% of the time, all the day long, all the day long. All the night long. God sees you as if you've never broken the law.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah.
Come on, man. That's the Bible. That's what he says. Imputed righteousness means that I'm right with God. Nobody can take this from me. You are the only one that has the ability to undress yourself. You've been clothed with something. You are to put on Christ.
Yeah.
You're never supposed to take him off.
Good.
Is this too good to be true? Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the gospel.
Yeah.
Come on. What do you say? Stop letting your experiences in life and the things you've gone through limit you and take you away from a good dad that loves you and wants the best for you. All I did was preach the gospel. I preach. Do you know that when this thing is a reality in your life, you'll be a miracle everywhere you go?
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because you know who you are. What would it be like to never look back? What would it be like to look forward and know who you are? That when the enemy whispers to you, you're too busy being in love with God than to listen to the enemy who's lying. If you're in this room and you don't know Jesus, I need you to come on up here. Come on.
Thank you, Lord.
Don't be scared.
Yeah.
I promise you it'll be way better this way.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Honey, yes. I know you do. No, I'm serious. If you don't know him, I want you to come up here.
Amen. Yes. Today.
There is nothing you can do to attain it. All you gotta do is say, I do.
I do.
So anybody in here that would say, you know what? I don't know him. Like someone made you come here today. You came. Just come hear this guy.
Amen.
Look, your heart's been wrenched the whole time. I know it has. I've been feeling it.
Yeah.
My heart's wrenched all the time. It's a reality.
Yeah.
Anybody wants to say, yeah, that's me.
Lord.
So you're all born again Christians and understand. I don't believe that's true. Man, we'll be here for a while. But I'm being serious.
Yeah.
Of course we're going to pray for the sick. I'm not even asking. That's we're always going to do that. But if you don't know him and you want to, I want you up here. Trust me, you don't want to live another day.
Not another day. Not another minute. Not another minute.
Thank you, buddy.
Thank you.
Now, I was at a meeting about a month ago. And I said, there's 5 people in here. And I knew exactly who they were. And I said, and I can't go on until you all come up here. So we sat. And all 5 of them came up.
It's my own church, man. It should be like that. Mm. But people come from everywhere. If you don't know him and you want to, come on, man.
Yeah.
Father, I'm asking you for boldness, God.
Yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Boldness, God.
Thank you, Lord.
Boldness, God.
Come on.
Yes. Thank you, Lord.
Wow.
Hallelujah.
Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Thank Jesus. You, thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. Yes. Hang out.
Hang
on. Who else?
Hallelujah.
Come on, there's like five more people, man. Y'all just come up.
Yeah.
Come on.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Thank you,
Father.
Bless you, buddy.
Hallelujah.
It's not a shame,
Father.
No shame.
Thank you, Lord.
Be in the chair saying, I don't deserve it.
Thank you, Lord.
Dude, hell wasn't designed for you.
Thank you, Lord. Yep.
Come on.
Yep.
Please. Lord Jesus, I thank you for courage.
Thank you, Lord.
I'm not looking at anybody. I'm looking around, but I'm not looking at anybody individually. I'm just telling you that. You're like, he's looking at it.
Where am I from, man?
No, but it's all about this.
That is.
It's all about being right with God. Yeah. More than enough, man. I love you guys.
Yeah.
Come on. Jesus, give him courage.
Amen. Boldness. Holy boldness.
Thank you. I believe there's two more guys and three more girls. I don't believe it. I know it.
Yeah.
Amen.
Jesus.
Thank you, Father.
Oh, Jesus, we welcome you. Oh, Lord, give them courage, God. Give them courage to know you.
Amen.
Holy, holy God, we welcome you.
Thank you, Lord.
We welcome you. Jesus, give them boldness, God. Give them boldness, God. Give them boldness. I don't do a lot of altar calls, but I know he's wrenching your heart. Get up here. Don't make me do this.
Thank you, Lord.
Come on.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Jesus, you're amazing. Holy God.
Hallelujah.
Jesus, you are amazing. If I told you I knew who you were, it wouldn't be nice. Holy Jesus! Holy Spirit,
yes.
Grip
yes.
their heart.
Yes, today.
Come on, God.
Thank you, Lord. Yes.
Come on, because you ain't getting out of this.
Yeah.
Because I love you and I'm not letting you.
Amen.
Yes. I want you to be free.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah.
Thank you, Lord.
Jesus. Jesus. Holy. Crazy. I can't go on. God,
come on.
Jesus.
Thank
Look, I just don't be scared. Just come on.
Yeah. Really?
Come
silly.
On.
Don't be scared.
Come on.
It's easy. The best decision you ever made. What are you giving up anyway?
Yeah. Yeah.
Come on. Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus, God.
Yeah.
In Jesus' name.
Yeah.
I'm not staring at anybody. Jesus, did Apollos or Cephas, did they die for you? No, Jesus died for you. So when you get baptized into his death. And going down in the water is like, is going down into being crucified with Jesus.
Yeah.
Coming up out of the water is being raised in the likeness of his resurrection. I just want to share that because that's the real deal. And there ain't nobody in the book of Acts that ever did it. I don't care if you did it before. It's a brand new day. Amen. You hear me? All right? And that floor opens up. We got water in there. Lock the door. I'm telling you, there are the people here that came to get baptized, I think, tonight. And then here's the real deal. When you get baptized, it's being crucified, and you're going down and you're being buried. Actually, it says dying. You're dying through baptism. And you come back up in the newness of life. You're coming out of there. It's like a resurrection. We come out of that water. And I heard Dan say it. It's like the Holy Ghost midwife is like, another one, Papa. And I love that. I'm like, oh God, this is good. Makes me cry every time. It's amazing. So that's amazing. So we're going to do a baptism tonight. And y'all don't have to stay, but we're going to do it. I'm going to ask you to stay. Get baptized. You all right with that? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Almost. Good. Yeah, me first. So look, it's real easy. All we're going to do is say, Jesus, I believe that what you did was enough because I couldn't do it on my own.
Amen.
It's really that simple. It's as simple as I explained it. I believe that what you did on that tree was enough for me to enter in.
Yeah.
That's it. Come on.
Yeah. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah. This is This is Jackie's stepdad. My father-in-law, Butch. My mother-in-law. I love you. I love you much. You don't like me telling him I love him.
Yeah.
He's all right. But he knows I do. You know I do.
Yeah.
All my heart, man. Went into the hospital. He had a. What was it behind your heart?
I don't really.
Blood clot behind his heart. He went in there and checked him. Blood clot's gone.
Come on.
That's good news.
Hallelujah.
All right. I just love them, man. They're great. Mean more to me than. And you guys know. Jesus, where's my wife at?
She
that's Jesus where my wife was. Come here. She said, I'll be a mess if I come up there. It's okay.
It's all right.
In front of everybody.
Yeah, daddy loves
you. Come here, baby.
Yeah.
She's my best friend.
Amen.
Yeah. Yeah. So look, it's real easy. I'm just gonna pray. It's not gonna sound just like your regular old sinner's prayer because that was made up 100 years ago. So I'm just gonna make mine up here. It's gonna be biblical now. Lord God, I want y'all to say this. Lord God,
Lord God,
right now,
right now,
we commit. What we couldn't do in our own strength to you. And we're going to dare to believe right now with all of our heart that what you did, Lord Jesus, was enough. God, we believe that Jesus paid the price for me to be made right with you. I've tried and tried and tried. Nothing's worked. God, I invite you. Come. Right now. Dwell in me. Live in me. Dominate my life. I give you who I am. So that I can become who you created me to be.
Hallelujah.
Thank you.
God, I thank you